Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our message today is going to come from John chapter 3, but I would like to begin in John chapter 1, and I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, to grab it and open it with me, because there are some things that we all need to see in God's Word. We need to see with our own two eyes. Now, I want to begin by asking a question that we all need to ask. I need to ask myself this. You need to ask yourself this. This is very, very important. It's a very vital question. Do we know why Christ died? Do we know why Christ died? Most everybody knows Christ died. Do we know why Christ died? It's a very important question. The Lord Jesus Christ did not begin on this earth like you and I did. He did not start when he was born into this world. He left glory to be born into the world. He left heaven in order to be born of a virgin. He left his throne to become an infant, born into the world. Now, in John chapter 1, it says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are one. One God, three persons. He is God from the beginning. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh." God came down. And it says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was born 2,000 years ago, made everything. He is the one who spoke this world into existence. He is the one in the beginning, from the beginning. He came here on purpose. He came here on purpose. And before he came to this world, he was holy. From eternity, he was holy. He is holy, sinless, spotless. And the entire time that he walked on this earth, he was holy. He was always holy. While he walked on this earth, he was holy and spotless and sinless. So why did he die on a cross? He was holy. He was perfect. Sinless. Why did he die on a cross? Was that an accident? Something that is without sin does not die. The reason men and women die, the reason there's no one on this earth who has been living for thousands of years, is because all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. It's why people die. Sin. Something that is sinless does not die. So why did he die on a cross? Was that an accident? No. There are no accidents with God. None. Christ came here on purpose, and he died on that cross on purpose. Why, though? Why would he willingly give his life on a cross in Jerusalem? What did that accomplish? For God to leave his throne, be born of a virgin, grow amazingly, grow, live perfectly, and then die on a cross just outside of, not even in Jerusalem, just outside of Jerusalem. What did that accomplish? There is one truthful answer to that question. Only one. One truthful answer. Our God has told us the one truthful answer right here in His book. Right here in this book. He has not hid the answer. If He gives a person faith to believe that one truthful answer, you can go out and ask men all over the place, what is this answer? They might tell you a different story, each one of them. You might end up with thousands of answers, but there's only one true answer. And if God gives a sinner faith to believe the one true answer, then that's the evidence that God is going to save that person by redeeming that person to Himself for all eternity. That's the evidence that Christ died on that cross for you and me. If God does not give a person faith to believe that one truthful answer, then that is the evidence that God is going to damn that person for all eternity. So this is a very serious question, very vital question. Why did Christ die? What is the one truthful answer? He has honestly given it all through His Word. He repeats it over and over and over. For this message, I want us to read it in John chapter 3. Turn with me over to John chapter 3, and let's look at verse 16. Many people know this and can quote this. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reason for Christ dying on a cross in Jerusalem begins with the love of God. That's where it begins. Why did Christ die? The love of God. The love of God. It says, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Amazing. What does that mean? What does it mean that God so loved the world? What is the truth in the statement, God so loved the world? Did God love the entire world? That's an important question. Did God love the entire world? Well, it doesn't say, as we read it, it doesn't say God so loved the entire world. That's not what's written there. It does not say God so loved the whole world. Is that what it means, though? Does God love the whole world? That's another important question. Does God love the whole world? Well, turn with me to Proverbs 6. This is what we need to see together in God's Word. We need to see this with our own two eyes. Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, these six. If you have italicized words in your Bible, you'll see that the word things, these six things, that word things is in italics. And what that means is that was added by the translators to make it more readable and understandable in English. And the translators did a wonderful job of adding these words. But sometimes it can be a little bit confusing on what is written and what our God has said. And in this case, we need to understand that these are not things. These are people. These are people. Verse 16 says, these six doth the Lord hate. You see that? Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Lord said, I hate them. Not I love them. I hate them. Did you read it with me? That's strong language. it's a little bit shocking every time I see that in the Word, that the Lord is so clear on how he feels concerning sin. Look with me, if you would, at Jeremiah 44. Turn over a few books to Jeremiah chapter 44. Let's read beginning in verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is God speaking. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. You have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem. He said, I brought it upon Jerusalem. I, the Lord, do all these things. He said, you've seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods. They put other gods before me, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. He said, I sent preacher after preacher after preacher, telling you my word, warning you of my word. And I personally want to hear this. He said, they all said, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Verse 5, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. They did not stop burning their incense. Wherefore, my fury and my anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. People say, people make this statement all the time, and I don't know where they get this. I don't know why they're so convinced in their heart of this, but they say, God doesn't hate. God doesn't hate. God says, I hate. I hate it. People say, well, God hates the sin, but not the sinner. He hates the sin, yes, but not the sinner. He doesn't hate people. Well, look with me at Malachi chapter 1. This is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi had to deliver the word of the Lord, and it's a burden. It's a great burden on the heart to tell men and women and warn men and women, this is the reality, this is the truth. Verse 2, this is the word of the Lord. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. That's what they said, we'll recover. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. I'm not going to let them prosper. They shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. He said, all those people, I'll have indignation against them forever. Indignation means to abhor, to curse, to foam at the mouth against, to be enraged by, to hate. Oh, how awful. How terrible. So what is the one truthful answer concerning God's love to sinners in the world? What is it really? Well, in John 17, verse 9, the Lord himself said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Praying to his Father. For them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. In verse 6, he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. The ones that you gave me out of the world. out of the entire Gentile world, not just Israel. Not just Israel, the entire world. That's the good news that includes me in this. That's the good news that includes me in His love. I'm a Gentile. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. I'm a heathen of the world, according to this word. I'm a heathen. If God had not shown His love to the world, then I couldn't have any hope. I couldn't have any hope. Ephesians 2 says, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were. But it says God did something. That's always the case. God does something. In spite of us, God does something. God came down. The God-man, Christ Jesus, came down. He came to this earth on purpose. And He died on a cross in Jerusalem on purpose. And He did that because God, His Father, chose some people out of the world. The Scripture says they were scattered abroad. The Scripture also says they were out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation of the world. God chose them on purpose to save them on purpose. But, all right, with that being said, that still does not fully answer our question. Our question is not fully answered yet. Why did Christ die? Why did Christ die? Why did He have to die? Why did God have to kill His Son? Why didn't God just save the ones He wanted to save? Why didn't He just do that? Why didn't God just pick them up and set them in glory? Just pull them out of this wicked world and set them in glory to be with Him. The answer is, it's because He's a just God. That's the reason. He is a just God. We must know the truth about this. He is a just God. It says in Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? Who will be allowed to? Who will be worthy to ascend up and stand in His holy place? Verse 4 says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That is none of us. That is none of us. None of us are without sin. That's who He's saying will be allowed to go up, whoever is without sin. None of us are without sin. 1 John 1 verse 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we're making God a liar. Making God a liar, because He said all have sinned. Time and time and time again, all have sinned. Therefore, none of us can stand in His presence. That's why God did not just reach down and pluck them out and set them in heaven. God is holy. God is holy. God is just. God is only right. He's only right. He can and He will only do what's right. Only what's right. He will by no means clear the guilty. It's not right. The law says it's not right. A man commits murder, let's just let him go. The law says that's not right. And He will not clear the guilty. He will not clear the guilty. That's the answer. He will not clear the guilty. The only way a person can enter into heaven is if he is not guilty. That's the only way. He must be not guilty. And again, that's not us. That's not us. By nature, we are guilty. In this life, in this world, we are guilty. We have broken God's law. All of us, including me, we've broken God's law. What's done is done. It can't be undone. It cannot be undone. There is no forgiveness in saying, I'm sorry. We do something wrong and we want to go to the person we've wronged and say, I'm sorry. Well, that is not good enough when it comes to eternal salvation. God is holy. We're not holy. God is holy. God is just. There's no forgiveness in saying, I'm sorry. There is no forgiveness in trying to do enough right to outweigh the wrong. Sometimes we wrong others and then get it in our minds, well, I'm going to go do twice as much good as I did bad, and maybe that'll take care of it. There's no forgiveness in that, not with God. We can go do all the good we want to do in this world. That means nothing to God. What's done is done. What's on our record is on our record. It cannot come off of our record. Sin cannot be undone. The only thing that sin can be is punished. That's all it can be. Therefore, because God so loved the souls that He chose out of the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's what it says in our text. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Gave Him to what? The sin of man. Gave Him to the sin of man. Gave Him over to the sin of every soul that God chose to save. Christ could not produce His own sin. Could not. He's spotless. He's sinless. He's holy. He's perfect. Christ could not produce His own sin. There was no sin in Him. But God laid on Him the sin of all those people He chose to save. He took their sin off of them and laid it on His Son. And when God the Father did that, when He laid all of those sins on His own Son, all of those people became sinless. God removed the sin from them, laid them on His Son. And by that transaction of the Father, His people became spotless and holy. They became what Christ was. And the sinless one, Christ Himself, became what they were. He was made to be their sin. Christ did not die on the cross as a martyr for His cause, like many people believe. Oh, He was showing us the way. He was trying to do good, but they laid hold of Him anyway, and they crucified Him anyway as a martyr for His cause. That's not why He died. Not at all. The exact opposite. Christ did not die on the cross to be an example for anyone to follow. Christ died on the cross because He made Himself to be guilty. That's the reason. That's the answer. He made Himself to be guilty, bearing in His body the sin of all His people. All of His people, all of their sin. The sin that they have lived all their life, the sin they are currently living, and the sin that they will live and commit until their time on this earth is done. He bore all the sin of all of His people in His body, and because of that, God killed His own Son. Because of that, Christ had to die on the cross. God is just. God is holy. Christ died on the cross being the substitute for His people. That's why He died. He died to set them free. When He died, they were set free. They had to go free. When He died, they had to go free. His own justice demanded it. The law says what's right. Whatever the law says is right, that has to be done. If it's paid, it's paid. They had to go free. Christ had to die because justice demanded it. His people had to go free because justice demanded it. Had to. Now, we started by asking the question, what did it accomplish? That's one of the questions we began with. What did it accomplish? The answer is absolute deliverance for his people. Complete and total deliverance for his people. Back in our text in John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The question is asked in the scripture. The question is still asked in the hearts of men and women today. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The answer that he himself gives is this: believe on Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does believe on him mean? Believe what? What do we believe about Christ? We believe everything he has said concerning salvation. We believe everything he has said, period. But the believer believes the one true answer that God has given concerning salvation. He said, "It is finished." It is finished. Every soul his Father chose to save, Christ redeemed, and they're safe and they're secure. Rest in the person. Rest in what he did. Rest in having a substitute. Rest that it's over. God is now satisfied. Rest in the fact that Christ has made us free. If God put us in him, we are free indeed. Free indeed. And if God gives us the ability to rest in that and believe that, that's the evidence that when Christ died, he died for us. If we have that, he died for us. And if we have that, we'll have everlasting life. Till next week, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.